been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Cairo. I've been there. Cairo.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Hashtag MoLedge podcast, coming to you every week from Missouri's beautiful state capital. This is Rachel Herndon, editor of the Missouri Times, here with my lobbyist co-host Becky Lohman of Catalyst, someone definitely not made for radio, and of course, Missouri Times' own Ben Peters. First things first, thank you so much to our sponsors, Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Today, we're on the east side of the building in Senator Doug Liebla's office, sitting with his chief of staff, Kyle Aubuchon.
It's a summer of the staffer, I've realized. That's what we are. We have a staffing trend. I like it.
It's a new perspective.
It's a new perspective, yeah.
Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge podcast, Kyle.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Well, that's good, because we want to talk about special session a little.
Everyone's favorite topic.
Yes, but first, I am currently infatuated with how everyone came to this building. What's your story?
I started off as an intern back in college. I went to Missouri State University, and I interned for Mike Parson when he was a state rep. He was rules chair in the House. So I got my start through him and decided I wanted to be a Capitol staffer. And the best way to get a job in the building was to work on some campaigns. So in 2010, when I was graduating college, I worked a few races for the House Republican Campaign Committee down in Springfield. State Rep Melissa Leach defeated Charlie Knorr in 2010. And I graduated December of 10 and started as an LA for Kevin Elmer from NXSA in January of 2011. So I was very fortunate to get a job straight out of college in my career field.
And talk about
after working your tail off, though. I love how he's like, I was very fortunate to get a job out of college after he worked tirelessly putting signs in.
Were you around for Representative Elmer?
I was not.
I miss him. He was fun.
So we had some good times, and definitely a great job straight out of college, and learned a lot from him. And it was a good way to get oriented, not being a college student anymore and becoming an adult, I suppose.
So what sparked your appetite to want to even be an intern in politics? Where's your hunger for politics come from?
I like history, and I like government, politics. I thought about being a history major, but I didn't really know what you could do with a history degree besides be a teacher or a librarian, and knew I didn't think that was going to be my career path. So, and I like following politics, even like reading like the Old Testament and the Bible, like all the kings and the prophets, but then there's always wars and scandals, and I just like following those kind of chronological timelines. And from there, I just enjoyed being at the Capitol in this beautiful building and coming to work here every day.
Yeah, that's why you like Game of Thrones, right? Because you like the chronology. Sort of the same, right?
I forget sometimes how the Old Testament kind of rivals Game of Thrones, to be honest. There's a story in the Book of Kings about King Ehud, who gets murdered by a man who's left-handed because they only frisked his right side, or his left side, because they assumed his weapon would be on the right side.
Interesting. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And he was a very, very large man, so the knife got, like, lost.
Interesting.
Anyway. Hashtag Bible stories.
Nice segue.
So, your boss, Senator Doug Liebla, he's a voice in this chamber for sure, and he's pro-life. So is he looking forward to coming back next week?
So, I think so. I think we're all looking forward to wrapping this special session up. It's been going on probably for, time-wise, like almost a month and a half. So,
and we know. It has to be 60 days, right? So I've heard it has to be wrapped up by mid-August. I've heard August 7th or August 15th.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay. So, Ben's nodding yes. He's my go-to for facts.
I'm confirming this. That's what I do.
So not too much longer. So it has to wrap at some point. You guys are coming back in on Monday.
And, you know, it's kind of funny how convenient the deadline was after the bill signing deadline.
Hmm.
Indubitably. So, Kyle, it's been a long special session. Give us a breakdown of the special session journey so far for those of our listeners who don't work in this building.
So we are in our second extraordinary session, which means it's not part of the regular session, and we're coming in specifically to address this one issue, women's health and abortion clinics along those lines. So we met in mid to late June to kick it off and get started. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not this merited an extraordinary session, or if it was something that could wait for a regular session, but it's up to the governor and his purview to call us into session, and he chose to do that, and the legislature has complied with that request and debated legislation and moved bills through committee and had votes. The Senate passed a bill, and we sent it to the House, and and some people would say they've strengthened the bill, and they've sent it back to the Senate for a final vote, and hopefully that vote will take place next week.
So I want to make an important distinction, because I always get this wrong, but if the governor calls it, it's actually extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Every time I hear the word
I think that's what everybody uses, but Jack Cardetti taught me that on a previous podcast. Shout out to Jack Cardetti, but he said it's actually extraordinary if the governor calls it. I'm going to keep saying special, but just... Fun fact for our listeners.
Super special.
Super special. Super special is when I call it. When Becky Lohman calls it back, it's super, super special.
I'll go ahead and say that when you're reading the articles, I'm still going to write special.
Right, no.
It's because he is a terrible editor. Now, this bill started in the Senate, right?
Correct.
Then it went to the House. They made a lot of changes. And then the governor revised his call. And now it's back in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at those changes as we speak, and a lot of the ideas that were added into the House were debated in the Senate, but ultimately not in the final version the Senate voted out. But most of the concepts that the House added in aren't new ideas and stuff we've seen before, so we're going to take that into consideration when it's up for third reading and final passage.
All right. Well, just out of curiosity... And just so our listeners know, Kyle does not have a sheet of talking points in front of him. But do you have any ideas as to what we could see this next week? Maybe a previous question? I'm a fan of the previous question. I think it's fun as a journalist.
It's interesting, you know.
And where does your boss stand on on signing for a PQ?
It's definitely a tough question. Being a former House staffer, I got used to seeing the PQ called multiple times in one day.
Yeah.
And then when I came over to the Senate, it used to... be this rare thing, but it seems like it's more and more common now, at least once a year or something. So
the new Senate, right?
So, you know, it definitely maybe effective some House members that in the Senate now that used to be House members, and effective term limits as well, probably, in a desire to push through more partisan legislation in a quicker manner.
You know, there used to be a senator by the name of Dick Webster who did this really cool C-SPAN video that we posted on the Missouri Times at one point in time, where even then he called the Missouri State Senate one of the most unique bodies in the country, I mean, and obviously the world. And I think it's interesting watching the Senate evolve a little bit of modernization, especially with term limits. It's changed.
Yeah, I think term limits are probably a big reason that you see. I think you don't have the folks that have been here for a very long time that kind of have that tradition that sits in the Senate. And I think Kyle hit the nail on the head where, you know, there's more of an urgency to pass legislation in your short time in the Senate. But I don't think we'll ever get rid of term limits. I think they're here to stay. I think it's really hard to explain to a regular person why term limits, in fact, aren't good and actually hurt the legislative process. So I think they're here to stay, and perhaps so are PQs regularly in the Senate. Do you think we'll see a PQ on Monday at this special?
I don't know about Monday or the rest of the week. I kind of gave up predicting what the Senate will do a long time ago.
Me and you both. So,
but you know, the governor did this special session call, you know, in a pretty short time. You know, he called it like on a Wednesday and told everyone, I'll see you guys next Monday morning, you know, for a session. So, you know, we haven't taken the whole month of July off, but we haven't gone in as a full body to make sure that we have the right number of senators in the chamber at the right time and make sure we have a quorum. Because a lot of senators are out of town doing family stuff and working back in their districts and stuff, their other jobs, and being with, spending time with the family. So after a lot of logistical details, this full body will be in next Monday. And we're planning on Monday evening, and we've got time scheduled for Tuesday and Wednesday if needed to hopefully wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up. That'd be great.
I would love that.
Well, that's what I'll say. We'll be like, Kyle wants to just wrap this up, so let's just
wrap it up. Especially because, you know, Ben and I were talking about how interims used to be kind of like the lazy Sunday of the legislative process, and just yesterday and today, Ben and I have been beating our heads against walls. There's been ethics complaints, there's been special sessions, obviously.
Yeah, yesterday was a crazy news day.
It's just insane, and the candidates that are lining up for 2018... Insane. Does that make you want to get back into campaigns?
Yes and no. So I'm trying to enjoy this interim.
Especially with this heat. Are you missing door knocking and all that stuff?
Oh, not at all.
Not at all.
So every other summer for campaigning is fine with me. And this being the off summer, quote unquote off summer.
Right.
I'm trying to do anything but pick up a post driver or things like that.
You know, this is a pretty shameless plug, but the Missouri Times Magazine, I always struggle to write the letter from the editor, and I was brainstorming with Ben and Scott, and I remember within 1 year, between 2010 and 2011, I knocked doors in not only sub-zero record-breaking winter temperatures and in an ice storm, but also in record-breaking summer temperatures, all within a year. And the major kudos to those people.
Did you wish you worked on campaigns in, like, California or someplace with a little more traditional weather?
Yeah, or earthquakes. You know, I would have taken probably an earthquake over the sub-zero freezing temperatures. Because the day that I was, like, a day in January, and the city of Kansas City, if you run for city council, you have to get so many signatures just to get on the ballot. And the same day that we had record-breaking low temperatures and an ice storm, I was also bit by my first dog. And it was like a tiny Maltese. And that was the day I decided I was never going to do campaigns
again. Worst day of your
life,
yeah.
Have you ever considered changing that story? Like, it's a giant Doberman? Or
no, as the owner of a Doberman, no. No, of course, it is time for 5 questions from Becky.
So, 5 questions. Who is your favorite character from Game of Thrones?
It used to be Ned Stark. Now it's probably Tyrion Lannister.
Used to be. That's practically a decade ago at this rate.
I mean, no spoilers. I'm already mad at Brian Grace for tweeting a spoiler on Game of Thrones. I feel like that's just not good practice. One of my coworkers also sent a meme or a gif of somebody doing something, and I was like, so now I know that person dies. So I get very angry with my spoilers. So please spare me. I'm probably opening myself up to be added. I'll get so many ads on Twitter with spoilers.
Everyone go ahead and add Becky on Twitter.
Oh, you're
and send Ryan Clearwater gifts of clowns.
Yes.
Number two.
Question two. What do you like to do in your free time that you have so much of, right? So much free time.
So my free time usually consists of I play softball a couple nights a week in Jefferson City, a men's team, a co-ed team. I try to swing golf clubs every now and then when I can. I bike the Katy Trail along Jefferson City, bike it either out to Herman and the wineries or go up towards Columbia. And occasionally I try to go out for a run and pretend I'm a runner.
Pretend you're a runner.
Yeah. I think if you run, then you are, in fact, a runner.
I've seen pictures of you, like, in running apparel, like, going through the tape that they put out whenever you, like, win races. Like, I think that makes you a real runner.
So I do some 5K and 10Ks around here, and then I go down to the district.
You're a real runner.
My slower times look a lot faster down there than in bigger cities. So it looks more impressive down there.
Big fish, small pond. I'm all about that. Yes. I'm all about that. Question three. What is your favorite thing about working for Senator Liebloch?
The people that I get to meet. He's has so many connections in his district and even across the country from his very successful business career. He's in like 45th year of business. And learning from his experiences and the different connections, people he's met along the way, and getting to see behind the scenes on what it takes to be successful, the hard work that goes to put into it. I was thinking about the first special session that we had. We were talking about the steel mill and aluminum smelter and you know, some of these companies are talking about bringing in hundreds of jobs. Well, he's actually ran businesses that size, you know, not like 10 or 15 employees, but hundreds of employees, you know, so he has, like, truly does have firsthand experience in that, and I find that very interesting, and I enjoy just listening and watching how he works.
I will say, that's one of my favorite things about the Southeast Missouri delegation, is you've got three senators with real-life business experience in their districts, and I think that's absolutely amazing for the entire region to be represented that way. Number four.
What is your favorite movie? All-time favorite movie?
I'd have to go with Shawshank Redemption.
That's mine!
I hadn't watched that until seriously 2 weeks ago.
It is. I mean, I'll let Kyle finish, but it's really good.
No, I think it's a great, great movie. So well. Love the soundtrack as well. And if you actually, like, I did a tour of the Jefferson City Pen maybe like a year and a half ago, and you actually go inside one of the cell blocks, and it eerily, like, reminded me of that movie, Shawshank Redemption. Like, it looks very similar, just like a old school prison, I guess. So
I went to a press conference there the other day. It was definitely the most haunted press conference I've ever been to.
I think we're going to have to jump on that subject. Did you do just the regular tour, or did you do the ghost tours?
The regular tour. It was actually a tour with other House LAs, and they gave us a tour because when we signed up for school groups that want something to do, they wanted the people scheduling the groups to know what they were getting themselves into. So we got to take a morning off and do that. So
I will say this. I did one of the ghost tours the first week that I started working at the Missouri Times. And I went out there, and our tour guide was Mike Lear from House Comms. And it was by far the best tour that I've ever been on.
Really?
He has the best stories about the state pen. So I highly recommend it.
So that's on my bucket list. And then also a tour of just the Capitol. I've listened to, you know, they're walking around during the day, we're all working, and I've heard them talk, and I'm kind of like, well, I want to, like, pretend like I'm a, you know, a seventh grader and see if I can blend it and listen, because it's pretty cool. Fifth question, last question. If you could have dinner with any politician, dead or alive, who would it be?
I would probably go with Richard Nixon. He was one of my favorite presidents. Even though he ended up resigning the presidency, he was the first president to go to China, and he had a very unique ideas about the presidency in, like, consolidating power. You know, he did get into some campaign ethics problems, which led to his resignation, but I would love to pick his brain about what his thought processes were and how he thought it was okay, because he was the president. And even his post-election life was interesting. So I'd like to have dinner with Richard Nixon.
So I don't know if anyone's seen Get Me Roger Stone, the documentary, but it talked about how he was involved in the, you know, he was 20-something years old and his name was on the Watergate list. And I think that sounds fascinating how that all kind of all worked out. I probably should do a little bit more.
You know, when you asked me, like, when did I get in politics? Okay. Actually, in 7th or 8th grade, I did a book report on Watergate. And in 8th grade, I read a couple chapters of the Senate committee report on Watergate.
Oh my gosh, you need to email your 7th or 8th grade teacher and be like, look at me now. You'll be so proud because of this book report. You changed my life. I'm serious.
Maybe they still have that book report somewhere.
Framed. Right by the principal's office whenever you walk in.
I'm sure it was one of the best ever written, but yeah. I doubt they probably have it. Maybe your mom has it. That's probably more likely.
I'm always really happy when other people say that Richard Nixon is their favorite president, because people ask me and I'll say that, and they always look at me like I'm insane, because all they think of is Watergate. But Nixon, even as a Republican, he championed the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act. He did it without infuriating a lot of farmers, to my knowledge. I wasn't alive, obviously. But that's admirable, in my opinion, because I hear the 70s were pretty grody.
I thought you were going to say groovy.
And groovy. They were groovy and grody. And you know what? I would say that my baby daughter probably appreciates there being some regulations on the air.
So we have a little bit more time left. So Kyle, what are your thoughts on this U.S. Senate race that's sort of shaping up? I think I read something today that our attorney general is throwing his hat in the ring.
Holly is in, and I hear that John Bruner is thinking about it. A very cryptic text I received this morning. I know you're listening.
So this has been an interesting cycle, without a doubt. probably earlier in the year, I would have predicted that candidates would have been announcing far sooner. It's, I think, a little bit tougher to raise money for federal races. So, you know, the August primary is really almost a year, a full calendar year away. So if you want to get in and start raising money, you need to declare and let people know now. So you've got a full year ahead of you to raise money and get your message out. So I think a little bit of the national climate has definitely trickled down to the states, including Missouri, and why people are waiting to see, you know, how like the Republicans in Congress and D.C. do, because that affects how Republicans back in Missouri operate. So we do have a deep bench, I think, and I think one of those is going to step up, I would say, in the next quarter and publicly announce and get their operation and organization running for 2018.
I think it's pretty interesting, even with as deep of a bench as the Missouri Republican Party has, running a campaign against Senator McCaskill is no joke. She's a vicious campaigner. She's a very serious senator, and she's taken very seriously. She's a rock star out in D.C., even if you disagree with her.
So I have heard that, and I think she's won multiple statewide elections. So I think just the fact that she has a winning record makes people respect her, whether or not you agree with her opinions. She's a winner in some aspects, and that she definitely works and gets her message out the state, and she's been around in the U.S. Senate now at least 12 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she is a known person, and sometimes just being known, you know, despite whatever you may be known for, just the fact that people know you gives you an advantage.
Name recognition is always huge.
So you just made me think of something. So we've just heard that Speaker Todd Richardson is throwing his hat in the ring for auditor.
Yep.
And obviously he's running against Nicole Galloway, but she has never had her name on a statewide ballot. So how do you think that sort of frames being the incumbent, but no one's actually never checked the box for you?
So it may help with fundraising and some of like the insider baseball, but she and the speaker will also have to get out in the state and meet voters a lot more than probably people who have been on the ballot before. Mm-hmm. I believe our auditor, she was appointed to that position, but she was also appointed to her previous position, I believe, as Boone County clerk or collector.
Yep. Yep.
So, and then the one time she may have gotten reelected, I don't know if she even had an opponent. So she is definitely coming into this with less campaign election experience than the speaker. So if he is going all in on it, he will have some advantage and a good network of Republican House caucus members throughout the state, helping him get some grassroots support. So he's in a good position, and between that and the U.S. Senate race, they're going to be at the top of the ticket. So if they do well, that's going to trickle down to our state Senate and state House races that are open and contested.
Absolutely. I think last year, I feel like it was around this time, I actually got my hands on a copy of Name ID for the state of Missouri, and Todd Richardson's name actually has very strong Name ID in the state of Missouri.
So, interesting.
That is interesting, because a speaker usually, I mean, the name ID of a speaker, what do you think it is? As percentage-wise, like what percentage of voters know who the president of the Senate is or the speaker of the House
or
is?
What that even
or what
is.
What they do, which is sort of scary.
Because I remember his, like, normally it's around, like, 5-10%, and his was over 10%.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. How are we on time, Ben? Are you about to slap me?
Maybe.
He's about to slap
for
me.
Fun, just for fun? Are we just doing it for fun? Because I'm in.
Aw. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. Fortunately, Hannah Beers and Ryan Clearwater set a low bar for staff as guests, and we are thrilled to start sharing new perspectives with our listeners by having people such as yourself on here. So thank you so much for Senator Doug Liebless, Chief of Staff Kyle Aubuchon, for joining us today. And of course, thank you to our sponsors, Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, for making this production possible. Of course, from Ben, Becky, and me, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.